heavy on some of my chapbooks, so if you want to see, you can read around along with it.
Oh, sorry.
I'm
just going to turn the pictures. So, hi everyone, thanks for having me here tonight. And I'm going to read from this poetry chapbook, Drawn to the Light, which was published last year with the Boyne Writers Group. It's the third chapbook in the Boyne Writers Group chapbook series. The first poem is a poem about a voyage out, and it's called Leaving Sagres. It's a sonnet, and it's about Portugal. Sagres is where Henry the Navigator set up his base for exploring the New World in the 15th century. It is in the southwest of Portugal by Cape St. Vincent, the end of the world. Ola Stagwa by the ocean at peace, under July's waxing moon, lulls asleep those who could not open heart to release, north where a star falls from firmament deep. When truth drops on the water, it is lost. The great flame is quenched. Sorrow has no room in hardened fate. Somewhere in the past, its demise was spun, certain of their tomb. Though sailing from Sagres, they held hope still of a new way beyond this world's sure end. The souls who go, they are brave in their will, treading unafraid of what they may find. Love is a madness to come on the tide, swallows children, angels, and lions of pride. The second poem is called Remembrance of Tara. And I wrote this poem in honour of the Hill of Tara, because I'm from Meath and somewhere I always visited, and it's so near to me. I put it in the chapbook because it was launched last June around the summer solstice. A sticky June day has lost its intensity to become an old and forgiving evening. And nowhere on earth is time more propensity to dawdle and dwell than on the Hill of Tara. Darkness too is slow and lazy in its coming. It humbly kneels before the summer solstice. Blue twilight air is circling with fairy magic, evoking the noble spirit of fiend and dead, alive in nocturnal halls, doomed and tragic in the grey dawn and toppled by morning. Romance is pulled from history by the moon, rising sickle and sweet over St. Patrick. So the shadows move and dance in the warm light, unafraid they play to a ghostly melodic harp. Undaunted by trim, nab and slain and some shocking light, shimmering in the dark distance, seeping at a glance. Tara floats above the world of men, tainted and sleeping in the lowland, where few even dream of Xanadu. Beating drums and shrill pipes sound out to folklore and its heroes, Oisínigh, Chok, Trasna, Dánta, as Dermot and Grania are reunited by the fire, where Fionn and Angus share the salmon of knowledge. The druids, those hooded men, lift hands to the sky, mixing the stars with berries and herbs and water. The bard, Filla and Fool, speaking aloud the dusky poem, preempting the aids and the honey that dripped from his pen. Salt of the earth and the bread they break on tabletops, wheat and flour and wood in the pagan prayer. Men of ash and women of dust relive the hour before the grave with flowers blooming in their hair. The dead are quick to evade the approaching dawn. Like amber stone, the sun sits on the horizon, glinting golden. Beauty caught in a blackbird song, heralding a new day of birth, death, and all in between. Tara lies still, a hump on Meath's back, a geographical fact, a landmark along the main nav and Dublin Road. Moth. She cut the sun from the sky, ate it like an orange, an afternoon orange. An orange she caught slowly, and her hands are stained with juices, and light emerges from her mouth. She can barely look at her, she is too bright, this wriggling insect under strong lamplight. She's a flower pressed inside the pages of a book, she knows I am. Her heart's a tightly folded napkin, and yet she's drawn to wipe her hand to her mouth, she's drawn to kiss her. Only close the curtain, only do not look, do not speak, and do not hear the flame of the moth and eclipse the death. This is just a simple haiku. Through winter cloud, dim sunlight, the bulb underground. Now the next poem is the title poem of the chapbook. And I work as a preschool teacher, so this poem is about the room I teach in. It's also about the journey each child makes in the year from September to June. As we sing the alphabet, making phonetic sounds, each letter a note, the later piece a word and the music of language, the nature table emerges, on which rest tulips in a paintbrush holder, seashells from Laytown and Arklo, and pheasant feathers carefully plucked. The birds shot down in the liver that roam the bogs and walk the roads in pairs, adding to the dull colour. On the wall there are maps of the continents and of the bright solar system. By the mirror, a poster of butterfly and moth varieties. Hope is in the daffodil painted upon the window pane, prematurely done in a bid to mirror spring. On the pivot of the weather we are dependent. By midday, without rain, we go outside to sunshine, caught between walking and running, when once we were oblivious to the hairy caterpillar climbing the shed whitewash. So this next poem is called Pluto's Hidden Stars, and it's very much a spring poem. All is silent in the countryside in anticipation, for a watching child holds her breath. Alone in the frosted night, his mind set as fogged and closing. Between the villages, cars travel. Their headlights search through thick air. Wipers swish in moisture. Behind trees, there is a bogeyman. Dogs bark. Pluto has taken all the stars and hidden the moon in the loneliness of falling to sleep. In the morning, ridden away, my cold dawn wakes. In his trail, a scattering of daffodil heads, unfound hidden stars. The Fisher King is part of a series of poems I was writing about Arthurian legend. And the figure of the Fisher King is always very mysterious, and he appears as a figure in need of healing. His eyes and hook cast down and out, as solemn he sits on the river bank. Will he ever catch a present wriggling and gasping, full of vigour and desire? Some night may come, a Percival to caress his cheek, kiss away the sorrow of the world, make light of his mantle. Forgiveness is the wine that passes his lips, lingers with the dew to the meadows, autumn mornings. When the corn is golden and taken, he recounts his tales of sadness, and his misgivings as the ears listen, swaying in the wind, moves across all nature like the hand of God. The same that scatters the swallows, kindles the stars, returns the roses. Thus one day he may reawaken, realise how long the dreaming, walk again, go on living. With happiness and faith restored, love shines, calls others forth. Those who are glad to return to warmth, those who look on and shiver. And this another sonnet, and it's another sonnet about the spring. It's called The Healing Land. Rain is falling on the newly ploughed fields, where dark brown and heavy soil is rippled, as an aged man's hands become, and forehead full of creases, lines and drills that time yields. On the slated garage roof, rain water runs, washes its way down to the guttering. It is a wet day, we say, taking turns. Watch Lazarus in Wellington's walking. In the distance, treetops misted over. The daffodils gather together, whisper, "We love your open heart. Always remember who you are, though the winter has been harsh. We can attest to this, state the beech and ash, but in the healing land, forget remorse." Love is quite a simple poem, and it's just about the closeness of a relationship. And if you can picture, I hope, two figures lying together. Do you fit me like a glove when I am packed against you back to breast? When my lung is your heart, my butt up your hip, my thigh your knee. When my soul is your foot, my shoulder a bridge from your mouth to my ear, a river of shivering intimacy. Do you fit me like a glove, the centre of my centre, the end of such days when I am closer to you with skin covering you? The Burial of Alice Defer. Once upon a time I would feed the donkeys carrots and sugar cubes down by the river when it was blue, and I would pet their soft noses. They looked on me with gentle eyes until I, longing, became humble too. I do not know how I died to a thin whispering voice, but like freedom I am unafraid. The ice of the river when it is blue is the sky full of snow by twilight changing hue. She came through the fields, a river of sighs. The north wind, like a prayer, awoke me, praised me, and told me to rise. So I just have three more poems to go. So Say My Friend was written a long time ago, and remember watching Parkinson one night, and he had Sting on, and he sang Fields of Gold. And so it's kind of about that. Say my friend that memory is longer than this day, this full day of my life, that in the night as I sleep time away I am not lost. Say my friend that I am the moon when the sun is set in the western sky, that I am alive in your dreams and part of the tears that you cry. Say my friend that you believe in ghosts when shadows move across the earth, that somehow past and present will entwine in steady beating heart. Say my friend that love is strong and true when beaten down by time, that when your lips are blue and cold, the warm kisses you remember will be mine. Say my friend that night and day cannot be parted long, that one day soon dawn will break and forever we will be one. Empire of the Sun is, well, it's kind of about Steven Spielberg's film. Anyway, Empire of the Sun. You never did see that movie when the war is almost over. The misplaced boy, free, sees the atom bomb rise in a flash of light over Japan. The house is empty without you, the room is empty. The bottom of my heart is a little empty. Life has become a great mirror. The moon is dying to be reborn, the sun is rising in its setting. I have thrown a lantern on the ocean, seen the stars mark the ground. Silent worlds never make a sound when they fall and burn. The last poem is called All Is One. And I want this poem to express the cyclical nature of life, the eternal return. And mentioned in it is the Ouroboros, which is an ancient symbol of a dragon or serpent eating its own tail, and it's comparable to the image of the phoenix. And symbol. All is one. Last night's rain clings to windscreens, frost of the dawn peeling to heater's blast, and mist stifles rumour. Bare trees appear like apparitions, branches spread as a fan, skeletal and perpendicular to an electrical pole, the hand under x-ray waving. These wires are veins and arteries as the road salted in the ice. Waters are tributaries, steady streams of the conscious mind, seeking some horizon, perhaps to a spiritual sea. Clouds hold aloft the flat, pressing sky laid sacrificial. Lives are set out on the table of the day. We have been saying graces, chasing our own tails. From some glacial chamber, the Ouroboros is set burning. In the lagoon, the sea snake moves, shedding his skin to the Pacific, shuddering and screaming his reflection. Thank you very much.
Thank you.